We are long overdue for the sexual movement you are about to witness. Sex may be the focus, while self-esteem will always be the goal. You are entitled to your self-esteem. This show will help you access it. You are about to be truly enlightened and invited into a community that advocates genuine learning and growth on some of the most challenging, unique, difficult, fun, and vital issues of our time. It's time to listen to the expertise of those who have made sexuality, identity, sexual health, sexual lifestyles, and sexual discovery their passion and a significant part of their careers. Your host, Lindsay Levinson, is a sexual director and an evangelist for the rights of every individual to be free, to live as they choose. Lindsay invites expansive thinking as we explore this vast sexual movement right here on Straight Up Sex Talk. Self-esteem is at the core of who we are. Is sex always a part of that? Straight Up Sex Talk will inform you that sexuality and sexual health is directly correlated with one's self-esteem. On Straight Up Sex Talk, no topic is off limits. Lindsay intends to take Straight Up Sex Talk into areas of pain, pleasure, identity, equality, health, freedom, choices, safety, fantasy, fetishes, rights, and clarity around achieving bliss. This show will discover a global platform that allows us all to become even more open, honest, compassionate, aware, and enlightened about sex and sexuality. Remember, nothing is taboo. We deserve self-esteem at its best. It is time to change the world. Welcome to Straight Up Sex Talk. The movement has begun.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Levinson. I am your host. Welcome. Welcome to Straight Up Sex Talk. And welcome back if you're a follower. Welcome to you if it's your first time finding us. However you get to us, I'm very proud to have you as part of this fast-growing community. This show is a movement. It's a movement whose intention is to break barriers and change obstacles that society has woven into the tapestry of our belief systems. It's around sex and sexuality. You know, nature gave us the design to explore and achieve pleasure, growth, self-love. But society somehow has unwoven a bit of that and put some layers and boxes around it, and so it is stigmatized. And this subject is stigmatized such that we now have limits on the pleasure and growth that we can achieve. But why are we accepting this? Why is this okay? Your soul is oriented, and it is called to a particular person, a particular body, a particular lifestyle, a way you want to love, a way you want to live. No one gets to change what your soul already knows. Only you get the final say on that. Follow us on Facebook. That is just Straight Up Sex Talk, all words together. Twitter is @ Straight Up Sex, S-E-X-X-X. And my site, qualityforlifecoaching.com. Please hit me up for anything. Excuse me. I'd love to give you a free consult. Love to talk to you about anything. I also want to introduce you, as I've mentioned on a couple other shows, Passionate Potential. I'm not saying passion. I'm saying passionate potential. PassionatePotential.com. It's a shopping site. Allows for preventatives and safety and protection and a lot of fun items as well. A chance to explore things that might work well with your life. It's a confidential site. It has customer service, 800 number, and I don't believe you should probably be bouncing all over the web. So pick whatever site works for you, but try to pick a site rather than tons of sites because I think that can get a little dangerous. I am going to give you addresses for our guest, who is Nick Campos, Dr. Nicholas Campos. He was on last week, so this is part two. And he is at www.nickcampos.com. His Facebook is Dr. Nick Campos, and his Twitter is Dr. Nick Campos. And as I said, for the first part last week, we did talk about the stigma of sex and sexuality. We talked about fears, and he named some very specific ones that create some of the prohibitive behaviors that we have, being able to engage in sex or even orgasm. Nick is a fabulous individual. He's contributing to health. He's contributing to quality of life, spirituality, sexuality, potential, and wellness. He's evolved, and he has an energy that I continue to tell people. It's like no one you've probably ever met. He will literally reach through the radio and touch you. You will feel it. It is palpable. Let me tell you about him a little bit more. He is a teacher of universal principles and truths as they pertain to health, wellness, sexuality, spirituality, emotionality, and evolution of the body, mind, and spirit. As a healer trained in the art of chiropractic and as a prominent chiropractic sports physician, he's helped thousands of people overcome physical injury and trauma, allowing them to regain their functional lives. Dr. Campos believes that wellness encompasses more than just the physical body. So his inspired mission is to assist people in navigating through mental and emotional and sexual and spiritual challenges while teaching them tools that will empower themselves in every area of their lives. Nick goes above and beyond to offer wellness in so many forms and flavors. He is innovative. He's creative. He's really brilliant. And he's motivated to offer each person he meets a higher quality of life. His upcoming book, Seeking the Self Through Meditation, and you'll need to keep your eyes open for that. But he also has a course of that name, and that's taken off like crazy. He teaches at corporations, yoga studios, small and large groups, on-site employee trainings, medical facilities, doctors, seniors going through end-of-life transitions, even students, high school, college. So if you want to find out a little more about that, www.nickcampos.com/speaking/. Okay. Dr. Nicholas Campos, week two. Man, does time fly. I am so thrilled that you are here for week two and that you're willing to take time out of your busy life to join Straight Up Sex Talk for part two of this compelling series. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Lindsay. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's just, your energy, your knowledge, it's very vast. It's very helpful. You speak in layman's terms. So it's wonderful to have you. And so while we talked about the stigma, which we'll continue to weave through because that is why this show exists, this stigma is absolutely hindering and stifling a lot. But spirituality, as we plug it into sexuality, it's not just stigmatized. There's actually also an allure. There's an allure because having a spiritual experience, can you? If you do, what is it? So is sex, well, sex is instinctual, but you know, what happens? So can you kind of start speaking to this? If sex is an instinct, and two humans begin with this instinct, what, you know, how, walk us kind of down a road where this travels.
Human beings have two instincts. The first one is survival. A movie came out a couple of years ago about a mountain climber who got his arm trapped under a rock. He eventually cut his arm off, or cut it at the wrist. I didn't see the movie, but I know the story. And yeah, that being able to do something like that comes from our very strong sense of wanting to survive, or needing to survive. That's an instinct, and everybody is going to do what it takes to survive. The second instinct humans have is reproduction. We have an inner drive, a biological drive to reproduce. There are exceptions, always, that there are exceptions to rules. But the rule, and a very strong one, is that we are driven to reproduce. And to reproduce, we must have sex. We are sexually reproducing organisms. And for that, it takes the the male-female. I mean, we have technology that allows us to bypass that, but the natural way is male and female. And so that's hardwired into us, and that's why sex and sexuality is such an important subject and such a major subject and area of interest of many people.
Yeah, so I mean, when you talk about this, I mean, you bring up instinct to survive or reproduction. Does that hook right into then? Do we start to move right into spiritual, or is there more pieces that take us down to where we start to call it spiritual, you know, life?
Like I touched on last week, we can't separate the three aspects of human beings, which is the physical, mental, and spiritual. We can't. We are both. You know, there's some there's some disagreement around that among certain intellectual groups, but you know, we have a spirit inside of us in the sense that we're driven by something more than just biology. So if we were just purely biology, we would just be having sex. We wouldn't get involved in relationships and what we do. You know, there are other biological reasons for us to be involved in relationships, but there's a strong spiritual bond and connection between people. Our society, our culture, is predominantly monogamous. And so we enter into relationships usually with one other person, and we try to make that be fulfilling. And a big part of that fulfillment is sexually for many people. Again, there are exceptions to that rule, but that's a big part of many relationships. So there is a spiritual aspect, and you know, from a spiritual standpoint, our drive is to approximate what we might call God. It depends on what your spiritual foundation is, let's say. You know, if you're the concept may be God, but it may just as well be the absolute or the universe, whatever that is, that greater power. And our drive is to approximate that. And the sexual union is actually one way in which we do that. So it's the male and female energy coming together. And I want to emphasize, when I say male and female, that does not necessarily mean man and woman. It could be man and man, woman and woman, because we all have both energies. We all have varying degrees of male and female energy. And the wisdom is in being in tune with that and nurturing those both sides of you. That makes the person more complete. But when we're in a sexual union, we bring together those two energies. You know, it's the yin and yang. This is a concept that has been discussed throughout history. It's a melding of the two energies, and when those two energies come together, we more closely approximate androgyny. Doesn't mean we become necessarily androgynous, but it's those two energies together, and that approximates the divine. And so sex is a spiritual union if you're in the right consciousness. Plenty of sexual encounters are not in that consciousness, and so you know, they are going to be just what they are. But if you're in a love relationship with somebody, and that's how you approach it, and you're both in that consciousness, the sexual union can be a mystical experience. It could be a very spiritual and divine experience. So it really comes down to the consciousness.
So I think that's probably one of the most powerful words, you know, in our vocabulary on the planet, you know, consciousness, awareness, mindfulness, you know, depth of presence. Do you think that in saying that, then, is that, in other words, does love, because this confuses people, and it's sort of an abstract, it could be a tangible, I'm not sure. So, you know, I'll wonder what you think about this, but you know, in other words, could that experience you're speaking of, all of it, the sexual energies, whether it's same sex or not, but the different energies of a female-male energy coming together, hitting that level, being closer to divine, being potentially mystical, magical, all of that, does it have to include a long term or monogamous for a period before or a period after? Or could it happen, you know, two people could have met 2 weeks ago. They don't know how long they'll be monogamous, and they don't even know if they'll go on beyond this experience, but they still are bringing to the table what this experience is, you know, the maleness, the femaleness, the openness, the mindfulness, and the ability to sort of float to whatever level this takes them, you know, or is it based on true, you know, committed relationships and long-term relationships? Is that what you apply this theory toward?
No, not at all. No, no, absolutely. It can be a singular experience. You know, it's both the players are in that consciousness. Unfortunately, what convolutes matters is that emotions and belief systems and fears, as we were talking about last time, all these things come into play. The mind gets involved, and it takes you out of the being, the soul. But if both people come into things with that kind of consciousness, of course it can happen. Absolutely.
I see that, you know, at some point in something that you had said, you talk about sex energy is creative energy, and you talk about sex chakra. Can you speak more to that?
Absolutely. So from a reproductive end, the sexual energy, the sex act itself is necessary, as I said, to reproduce. And in reproduction, we're forming another living being. I mean, that's the ultimate creation. And it's that melding of the male and female energy in a downward gravitating fashion. So if you think about sort of how the physiology from the sperm production, and granted it's, you know, the ejaculate can go in any direction, but it's sort of like a down and an out. And the we'll say the vectors of the baby passing through the canals and coming out into the material world. These are all sort of the downward gravitational energy. That's the energy of creation. That energy of creation that is harnessed in our, we'll say, in our sexual region, you could call it the sexual chakra, which is the sacral chakra, the second chakra. And that's in that region of the gonads and the reproductive organs. That energy can be harnessed and used to create on any level, artistically, musically, businesses, financial worth, you name it. It's creative energy, and that actually is a product of our sexual energy. And so, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of that, and so people who are highly, highly, highly sexual, horny all the time, these are actually creative people who could harness that energy and create in other areas. Now, granted, it's fun to release on a sexual level. It's fun. Yeah. But you can use that energy and that power to create in other areas, and it's extremely powerful.
That's really interesting. That's just a really interesting perspective. And you know, I hadn't heard it that way. I guarantee people don't think of it that way. How do you know this? Like, what, you know, what areas? I mean, do you find yourself studying different areas? You know, because you're so versatile in what you know as a doctor, as a chiropractor, working with sports, but spirituality and the book and meditation. And, you know, where's your passion? How do you know all this?
I do study a lot of things, but really, there's an even simpler approach. And when you look at the great masters throughout history, philosophers and sages, they looked at the universe, the world, life, with regard to the universals, the things that are true across the board. And that's what I do. I look for universals, and I see where do we have truths that span all space and time. There are no exceptions. And I then just apply those to the particulars in life. You have to find where they exist, but they do exist. because patterns repeat in nature. We know this from mathematics. We know that patterns repeat. And in fact, many of our great technological advances are simply things that these great minds looked at nature and they said, wow, this is amazing. I want to recreate something like this. And that's where we get everything from cell phones to space flight, you name it. It all comes somewhere from nature and from universal. So that's what I do. And so regarding this creative energy, that's how we bring things into the material world. We bring them in first as a thought, and then we create that, whether we start with a blueprint, and then we start to build. If it's a material item, let's say like a car or some sort of technological device, and it's gravitational. Gravitate means to have mass as opposed to radiate, which is the opposite direction. That's what we do spiritually. So materially, we're bringing energy downward into material, materialism, and that's gravity. That's gravitation. And spiritually, we do things and practices and rituals to help us shine more light and emanate. They go in opposite directions. And so, you know, creation, creative energy, and that includes sexual energy, that's a material thing that we infuse with spiritual energy. But it's material.
Wow. And this seems like, you know, it could be so old school and it could be so primitive, and yet it seems so new age. You know, do you think couples talk about this together? Because, you know, one person, in other words, like you said, if someone's horny a lot or they're sexual, or in other words, each person brings what they bring. But when two people can harness this together and two people can integrate this, then the energy that you've got is something quite profound. But it would need to be, as we've mentioned before, something, it would need to be named. You'd need to be mindful. You'd have to bring it into consciousness or awareness to actually tap into that energy to use it to its highest optimal potential. Do you agree that,
you know? Absolutely. And, you know, there are the old masters and sages and those that studied the realm of the inner self and the spirit, they were aware of this. And you know, they talked about it on different levels. The teachings that I sort of use and resonate with are the Yoga Sutras, which were written by Patanjali thousands of years ago. And in these sutras, there are eight limbs of yoga. Now, yoga means to yoke and to bring together our spiritual and our material selves. That's what yoga means. So we tend to think of yoga as being the postures that we see in yoga studios, but right, those are really only one limb of the eight limbs of yoga. It's the asanas, and which literally means sitting posture. Because you have to be able to sit comfortably to go into meditation and to go within and to yoke to your spirit self. So in one of the limbs, which are called the yamas, these are sort of guidelines of things to be mindful of in life. They're not a morality trip. They're simply areas that the sages knew that if we fail to put attention into, it leads to suffering. And one of those yamas is a yama called brahmacharya. Brahmacharya is the idea of harnessing this internal energy that we have, what I'm talking about. It's sexual energy, but it's an internal energy. It's been called the Kundalini by some. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yeah.
And so the idea with Brahmacharya is to moderate one's indulgence, we'll say, in sensory stimulation. Doesn't mean to not indulge in sensory stimulation. Sensory stimulation could be anything from food to mind-altering substances to thrill-seeking, jumping out of planes or bungee jumping. All these things are sensory pleasures. but the one that Brahmacharya usually uses to discuss the principles is sex and sexual release and sexual energy exchange, simply because of its instinctual nature, plus the hormones that we release before, during, and after this very important function can lead us to kind of get, over-attached, we'll say, to it. We want to keep getting that feeling and that release. And that's what Brahmacharya warns against, to not get too indulgent. Simply because when you do, you're separating yourself from the source. We're looking to external pleasures to fulfill us, and that will never happen. And we also release energy unnecessarily. So,
interesting.
Lots of principles connected to this Brahmacharya idea.
So, do you buy into this? I mean, is this something that you this makes a lot of sense to you, this Brahmacharya?
Well, absolutely. You think about it like this. Let's take drugs as an example. The reason why people like drugs is because any particular drug, everybody's different, so different people like different things, but they essentially make people feel good on one level or another. If it's not physically, then it's mentally. And that what's happening is that anything that gives us pleasure releases a hormone in our brain called dopamine. And that dopamine system is in place specifically for our instinctual purposes, survival and reproduction. So we get a dopamine release when we eat food, because the body wants, the brain wants you to know, this is good. Keep doing it. And it's the same with sex. We release dopamine. Same with eating chocolate, by the way. I'm not kidding on that. And you release this dopamine, and it feels good, and that's what we're really going after. We're not, we relate it to the drug or the experience or the sex, but it's really a dopamine release. And what can happen is that, and we see this with drugs all the time, is that as you continue to do them, tolerance sets in. And you stop getting that initial burst, that initial feeling, that feeling good. And so because we want that, we go after more drugs, more sex, more experiences. And ultimately, we learn that it's not the experiences, and it's certainly not the quantity of them that bring what we're feeling inside. It's actually, that's already inside of us. We are ascribing whatever it is. So, you know, it could be feelings of power, freedom, release, connection, intimacy. There's a whole number of feelings that we develop during these experiences that go along with the dopamine. And it's important for people to understand that that comes from within. And you're never going to get that from an external object or experience. And so chasing these experiences, again, whether it's food or drugs or sex, you're going to come out feeling unfulfilled, because you're going to find that no matter how many times you do it, it's not going to, you're not going to reach that level unless it's happening on the inside. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense, but then that begs the question, and I'm standing in our listeners' shoes, okay,
please.
Then what do we do on the inside? Because there's a reason they make a pill for that. And there's a reason, you know, that these things exist, because if somebody had that book we should just all go buy at the bookstore that told us how to increase our dopamine and get it to the right level every day, we could all throw out our pills and, you know, have sex whenever we wanted, but not because we needed it and never need chocolate and all the other things that maybe that, you know, drugs, whatever else, as would be for adrenaline and norepinephrine, or maybe even serotonin, these different components that make us get to the zone we need to get to. So what's the answer? Like, if it's really lies internal, but we seem to find it external, we don't want to get hooked on that, or even in the belief system that external is where it can be found. How do we set that up so that we understand where internally?
Well, the first part to be really connected to is that Brahmacharya does not say, don't do it. Don't have sensory pleasure. Do it. But it's the attachment to the sensory pleasure where you start to have dangers. Because attachments lead to addictions, and addictions lead to suffering. So those external experiences are there for us to enjoy. But again, the idea is, what's the difference between enjoyment and you know, overindulgence, and then pathology? So yeah, it feels good to have a sexual release. But if you're masturbating, you know, 30 times a day and watching pornography, you're masturbating 30 times a day, you're investing time and energy in something that's not ever going to give you that recreation of pleasure. Maybe by time five, you've already set the tolerance in. So it's not a morality trip. It's simply that the more moderation is wise in every capacity. It's the middle road. Even the Buddha taught toward that. Moderation is key. Listen, we can't even understand what enjoyment is if we don't pull away from it a little bit. So overindulgence isn't the answer. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is, it's not that there's something inside and we need to learn, you know, what that is so we can trade it out. You're saying it's just that we have the capacity inside to tap into this through these amazing things, but we need to not start to use them as crutches and tools to the way to get happy, and then want more and more and more and more, so that we forget that there's just again, I'll go back to sort of self-love and an identity and a purpose are really our greatest joy, like knowing who we are and the foundation of why we're here, waking up each day to make a difference or just to like our life. That's important enough. And now we can add things that give us a great rush or a great high or a great pleasure, but we can't get kind of addicted to that pleasure such that that's all we are now trying to achieve to have a happy day. And if we don't get enough of it or can't do it, it's suffering.
Exactly. And thank you for, you eloquently put, that's exactly right. Those pleasures and the emotions that we ascribe to any experience or external item, those all come from within, from the self. You agree that different people have similar experiences, similar emotions with different experiences. And that's because that emotion comes from within, whether it's satisfaction or ecstasy or whatever. And so when we're not in tune with this and we ascribe it to some outer experience or a thing, we're going to chase that thing, and that's never going to bring us fulfillment. In fact, it's going to be the opposite, because tolerance is going to set in, and any other many number of problems that sets in when we chase any one particular thing. And we're not going to be able to recreate that feeling because we're detached from the idea that that feeling is within. So again, it doesn't mean don't do it. Just don't lose sight that that feeling is within. And the more that you go after that external, the farther away you get from being connected to that idea.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I appreciate, the way that we've been able to talk through this.
It's a mind game.
Because it, you know, it's funny. It brings me back. I've probably told this story, I don't know, to somebody somewhere on the air or somewhere else, but you know, the kids and their cell phones. So my kids are grown now. I mean, they're grown up. But when my son was young, so I'm going to say middle school, you know, he did have a cell phone, but that's how, I'm going to say, that's the olden days. That's how long ago that was. And he had a cell phone, but even then, you know, they never stopped. I mean, I deemed it so very many years. So I'm saying, like, let's say 10 years plus, maybe 10 years ago, we'll go with that. I deemed it the oxygen tank. And so that's what they had. They couldn't be without it. They texted and you know, and maybe it was MySpace those days, but you know, every minute, every day, everything, cell phone. But you know, it was analogous to these kinds of things. This is how they got their high, their adrenaline, their dopamine, their pleasure. And if you took it away, that was the addiction. God forbid, you know. So I remember offering my son, who was extremely not just frugal with money, but, you know, like he loved it. He saved it. And he did well for himself. And so I offered him at that young age, I think it was 11, I'll give you a $20 bill if you'll give me your phone for 24 hours. And it was a really difficult choice. I mean, it was seriously like saying, you know, can I like cut you with a knife and just let you bleed for 24? I mean, it was, you know, you watch the pain in this child to make a decision, but he had to make it. And that $20, he could see the big picture. So he took the deal. And I took his phone and he took the 20. And at the stroke of midnight the next night, we started at midnight. I said, you have this many hours to tell all your friends what's going on, you know. So he used the time, then handed me the phone. So a day later, I gave his phone back and gave him the 20. And he said, you know, why did you give me that deal, Mom? Because in the end, I got my phone and I got the 20 back. And I said, or I got a 20 from you and I got the phone back. And I said, my point wasn't ever to get your phone from you. My point was to show you you can breathe without it. My point was to show you you actually had a good life and a good day without your oxygen tank. So now you know you actually have enough air on your own. And I will pay $20 for you to know that. And he just kind of smiled like, huh, interesting. And that reminds me of that, that we need to know who we are and that we're enough. And then we augment our lives with wonderful, loving dopamine, adrenaline rush, crazy ass, fun, amazing things that make us feel incredible, but we don't depend on those so that God forbid they go away. We just sit and suffer.
And well, I mean, what you just described, it was a profound lesson in something that life does to us anyway. And all of us have the experience of losing those things that we think we can't live without, whether it's a relationship or a person, a loved one, a material item. And we all go through that. And we all have things that we think we will die without. But the truth of the matter is that what we need is inside of us. And that's it. And we become attached to these items, but they don't define who we are and what our existence is. It's our mind that makes it that way as a fear. And so, I mean, that was a beautiful lesson that you were able to teach him. It's a life lesson.
Totally. Thank you for saying that. We have to get a break, but thank you. That's awesome that you got that and that I got what you're saying, that we could pull it out with some sort of story as well. And so we are heading to break. You're on Straight Up Sex Talk, Dr. Nick Campos. I'm Lindsay Levinson, your host, and we have some great stuff to get to. We're at the end of our two-week series, so this is no time to change the channel. It's only a two-minute break, and we're right back. So hang with us.
We are long overdue for the sexual movement you are about to witness. Sex may be the focus, while self-esteem will always be the goal. You're entitled to your self-esteem. This show will help you access it. You are about to be truly enlightened and invited into a community that advocates genuine learning and growth on some of the most challenging, unique, difficult, fun, and vital issues of our time. It's time to listen to the expertise of those who have made sexuality, identity, sexual health, sexual lifestyles, and sexual discovery their passion and a significant part of their careers. Your host, Lindsay Levinson, is a sexual director and an evangelist for the rights of every individual to be free, to live as they choose. Lindsay invites expansive thinking as we explore this vast sexual movement right here on Straight Up Sex Talk. Self-esteem is at the core of who we are. Is sex always a part of that? Straight Up Sex Talk will inform you that sexuality and sexual health is directly correlated with one's self-esteem. On Straight Up Sex Talk, no topic is off limits. Lindsay intends to take Straight Up Sex Talk into areas of pain, pleasure, identity, equality, health, freedom, choices, safety, fantasy, fetishes, rights, and clarity around achieving bliss. This show will discover a global platform that allows us all to become even more open, honest, compassionate, aware, and enlightened about sex and sexuality. Remember, nothing is taboo. We deserve self-esteem at its best. It is time to change the world. Welcome to Straight Up Sex Talk. The movement has begun.
Straight Up Sex Talk. Yay. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for joining us. And you know what? I hope you've been joining us for 2 weeks. Because this has been a two-week series. But the good news, if you haven't been able to listen live these Friday nights at 8 o'clock Pacific time or 11 Eastern, there are archives. So just get on to bbsradio.com/straightupsextalk, all one word. Go ahead and Google that on in and scroll down halfway down the page and you will see all the shows. And you can hit these shows so that you can hear the whole entire thing, because it really does add a lot of value to hear it in context, in full, and hear the guest speak to all these issues as we move through these 2 weeks. So we have Dr. Nicholas Campos as our guest, and we are on the last part of part two, which makes me sad, but I have a very strong feeling this will be a guest that will be back. We have so much to talk about. So we were talking about, you know, Brahmacharya. Maybe, Nick, maybe you take us back. You know, this energy and whether it's harnessed, and we were giving examples of whether it's internal or external. And, you know, if you know you have it inside and then you access it and harness it for good and make good things happen in your life, it becomes such a powerful and amazing addition, an amazing thing to augment your life. But if you find it and depend on it and get hooked on it and get kind of sidetracked or obsessed with it, it can become what moves into sort of an addictive state, of which anyone takes anything from you and you're in a state of suffering, which is not at all what anyone's trying to encourage. So, Nick, can you speak a little more then to the harnessed energy and how it can be used and more things about it?
Yeah, the energy that I'm talking about is what would be called a subtle energy. It can't be measured. It's not a physical property that can actually be measured on a EKG or EMG or something of that nature. However, we are all aware of it. We know when we see somebody who is magnetic or high energy, as you've been speaking about throughout the last two shows. It's something that we all experience and we know exists, yet there's not a way to measure it. And the yogis called this a subtle energy, and it's a very real thing. The idea of Brahmacharya is to be aware or mindful of moderation, so that you're not releasing that sexual or that creative energy either unnecessarily or with no place to go. And so the idea is, instead of releasing it, we are harnessing it, and we're using it, we're building it, harnessing and building it within us. And instead of allowing it to come downward in a gravitational manner, in a material manifesting manner, we're pushing it upward, like the Kundalini yoga, upward toward the head, toward the third eye, which is between the eyes, between the brow at the base of the nose, at the bridge of the nose, forgive me. And we want to move that energy upward, and we radiate. And that energy can be used for other things. It's an energy that is felt by others. And so depending on whatever your unique mission in the world is, in your life, you're bringing very, very important information to the world. That energy can be harnessed to do that. For some people, it could be a healing thing. I'm a doctor, and that energy can be used to heal people. And those people will start healing just by being in one's presence who harnesses this energy. We've heard about these people from mythical, potentially mythical people to modern healers. People start to heal when they're around them. So this is sort of the idea behind Brahmacharya, that you can use this energy for other means. It could be influencing people, politicians, and so forth. It's an inner, subtle energy that could be used to really for other in other areas. And so the idea is to harness this and to express it to the world in other ways than just material manifestation.
So do people have to learn? I mean, so is this a process almost like meditation to learn that you have it? Because I can see how people would get it, and I can see these energetic states and dopamine and sexual connections and different times when energy flows and it's almost electric. And I use that analogy, you know, it's like electricity and you're plugged in and then you have it. And so, you know, that could go a long way if used properly. But do people, are they, again, in awareness? Is that how it goes awry? Because people don't really even know they have this energy, or they're not paying attention to how to hold it in a mindfulness or meditative state or a way to channel it properly. You know, they take it for granted. They don't even really know. They're just sort of off the hook, happy, but not really knowing that there's something next to do to hold on to that energy and hold on to their identity simultaneously and then be productive. Is that a question that
That's
even
exactly
makes sense?
Right. That's exactly right. Because when we're not aware of it and we're not focusing on harnessing it, then it emanates from us diffusely, and it could be erratic energy. We all have had that experience of being around somebody who's like, man, that person is just too much for me. That's one way.
Right.
Or it could just be wasted energy, energy that's not going anywhere. And so, yes, it does start with awareness. Meditation is a wonderful tool because that helps us connect to that inner self, but that's not going to, in and of itself, I'll say it won't alone harness the energy. It helps. But again, it's not allowing, we'll say, wasteful release of the energy. That's the idea behind brahmacharya. And, you know, you asked me earlier, do I buy into it? I do, simply because I try to be mindful and aware of it as much as I can, and I see the effects in my life. So, you know, it's not scientific, but it's enough for me.
It's scientific. If you tell me you see it, I say it's science then, because you're the best case study I could possibly be talking to. But okay, so what about then, as my mind wanders, I think, okay, like, so pornographic activities and could be adults, could be teens. So, you know, let's say a 15, 16, 18, 19, 25-year-old, you know, and porn, and it feels good. And so they're in that room, you know, someone else is playing video games for 12 hours. Someone else is doing porn. Now, we might even use an analogy that both of those could be somewhat unhealthy or somewhat depleting, not in judgment of the porn, but the depletion. But porn, and truly, if somebody is ejaculating, if somebody really is using it to potentially create multiple orgasms through this pornography, it really is taking energy out of a human's body over and over and over. And if that is the goal, then that might be an example of being sidetracked. Might you agree?
Well, I want to first acknowledge that this, what you're talking about right now is complex. And so I don't want to oversimplify it by what I'm going to say. So I want to start with that because there are many different aspects of this. You know, for some people, pornography is their only sexual release. And so in that regard, you know, you got to accept the good side of it.
Absolutely.
You know, there are some people that don't have a sexual release. And so there's a benefit to them. However, sure. Saying that, for lack of a better term, we'll say a normally sexually functioning person, somebody who is having, you know, sexual relationships, then it can be a depletion of energy if it's done excessively. Anything done in moderation is fine. The problem with pornography is that it has a highly addicting potential, like a drug. It's that the necessity to have those images repeatedly. And then there's also a corrupting aspect of it. The more of that you watch, the more the person watching it sort of needs particular experiences, visuals in their life to perform or to be aroused sexually. And that's going to have an impact on one's relationships. Again, fantasies and pleasures are normal and healthy, but we can sort of distort our minds by repeatedly watching images of, I mean, you're only seeing the sex act itself. You're not seeing anything else around it. So, you know, that has an impact too on pleasing your partner as well.
Right. because you get your brain trained. It's almost like Pavlov dog. You get your
just
brain
to
trained.
The, yeah, just to the act itself.
Right. Right. And yeah, and I'm glad you challenged that a bit, because it's really important for me to say. I can't state enough. And I will, if I do judge anything, I'll be the first to name it. I mean, I'm just all about the truth. But yeah, I have no judgment with porn. Now porn's something that definitely depletes our society. That's not a statement I'm making whatsoever. I don't care, even if you're in a healthy relationship, even if it's not your only way to get set. You know, I have no judgment. To each his own, and what works for you. And, you know, it's really, that's my biggest statement to the world is we need to get out of each other's business. But, you know, that's that really, you know, so it's not for me to say. I'm just talking about these addictive potentials,
sure,
which is why I named video games too.
Absolutely.
Things that maybe, like a video game, might really raise our dopamine, might raise our norepinephrine and our adrenaline. The same things that are in a chemical pill that we might take for antidepressant. But at some point, there's no way out if we don't, like you said, keep a delineator between, hey, this is my identity. This is who I brought into the room. I enjoy this because it's, you know, has these factors that create happiness for me. And now it's this time of day, and I need to take myself out of the room and go do these other things. You know, to have that balance and that awareness that this is a pleasure, just like someone who takes a guitar lesson or takes a bike ride, there are things that can bring you pleasure, but there's also the balance of what else is in your life that makes you you. But if you're into World of Warcraft or whatever these things, and you immerse yourself into another world, and then coming out is the most depressing thing because there is no you. That's when we have to get concerned. And those were my examples. That could happen with porn. That could happen with video. Once again, could happen with just about anything. But
right?
That, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Moderation is key.
Yeah, moderation And so I guess I'm saying to listeners, and then again, not saying it to you as if I know, I'm saying it to you, listening to it with you. I'm always empathetically standing right with you in your shoes. We all have to work, I guess, on the awareness piece because, just like Nick said, we all have stuff. I mean, we all have stuff we love. We all have stuff that sometimes hard to stop doing when we're loving it, or sometimes hard to get aware of something one way or another. So that's the work, I think, each day is to really, really pay attention to, you know, to what is good, but that we as a whole entity are, we are the great commodity we bring, and the things that make us happy are what augment our lives to be even better, that, you know, allow us to reach higher levels of potential. But we have to stay in awareness of that, or it would be easy to get depleted or potentially lost. So that's really interesting, Nick, that brahmacharya and just the whole concept, very, very interesting. And you talk also about, we're getting almost to the end. In fact, we're really close to the end, shockingly again. So I guess I'm going to ask you just to sum up then, you know, you talk about it as it being something that's, if you practice it, it's respectful, it honors oneself. You know, what would be your last couple things to say about that practice?
Well, that's what it is. In another yama is called ahimsa, which is nonviolence. And the two together, ahimsa and brahmacharya, are called the royal yamas. And that's because ahimsa is honoring other people. It's not having intentional thoughts of harm toward them. And brahmacharya is honoring yourself. It's having enough respect for yourself to keep yourself, you know, in moderation and to express the best you that you can. And so, it's you mentioned, it's just, you know, learning yourself. I mean, that's the purpose we're here. We're not put into this existence because we knew it all. We're here to learn about ourselves, and each lesson is the next piece to that puzzle. So
I love
have fun along the way. That's all I can say.
I love it. Yeah, no, I love it. What's the best address, Nick, that they can reach you at?
So email drnick@drnickcampos.com. My website is nickcampos.com. I've got some articles on this subject matter up now and others coming up. And you mentioned my course and my book. Thank you so much, Seeking the Self Through Meditation. I'm available. I travel. So would love to hear from some of you and maybe bring this course to you. And Lindsay, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for being on. Thank you so much. So today we investigated spiritual sexuality at a pretty deep level with someone like Dr. Nick Campos explaining this to us. It's astounding, the vast knowledge that Dr. Nick Campos has and that he can share with us, and how he is so engaging in his ability to teach us in these areas that we can truly apply into our lives. You know, no wonder he's teaching, and no wonder he's a writer, right? Because people's lives improve when they're just touched by Nick's energy, let alone the stuff he teaches. It works in practical applications, so it's awesome. Today's straight up sex tip. Whether you're spiritual or not, what Nick offered today, it's practical information. It allows you to tap into spiritual energy and plug that into your sexual energy and your sexual identity. Nick brings science and spirituality and anatomy and research together so that we can see that there is much more to learn and explore than we would ever have known. So I say to you listeners, be bold, be brave, listen to this show again. Go ahead and rewind it and hit repeat and listen to it again. Choose something that you heard and integrate it. Just one thing. Integrate it into your life just to see if you can feel the quality of your life improve. Wouldn't that be a cool experiment? We must expand the subjects we consider and engage in when it comes to sex and sexuality. It is time to change the world. You'll hear me say it. You'll hear me keep saying it, because it really is. We have a lot of foundation and fundamental ideas that are built on what I'm going to say, a little bit of nonsense. Straight Up Sex Talk is the movement that is leading the change to getting a little bit smarter and way healthier and safer. You are busy people. You do have choices. When you pick this show, that's a choice. I offer you my gratitude, but you know what? You need to feel pride for choosing this show, because you're choosing to learn and grow. This movement will always allow for education and growth. So if you choose that, how awesome are you? Pat yourself on the back. Check out www.nickcampos.com. I can be found at qualityforlifecoaching.com. My Facebook is Straight Up Sex, and Nick is at Dr. Nick Campos. That's his Facebook. I am thrilled that each and every one of you has had interest and continues to in this subject matter. Tell one person to listen to this show. That's all I ask. Just tell one person. And you have no idea the help that you may have just given somebody who may have needed that help more than you ever even knew. Momentum is a fabulous thing. So tell someone and watch us grow. Think about what you heard here the last 2 weeks. Be mindful of what makes sense and what you are compelled to incorporate into your belief system. Make your week one that has meaning and value. You know why? Because you deserve that. I'm your host, Lindsay Levinson. You're at Straight Up Sex Talk. We've had Dr. Nick Campos for 2 weeks. How lucky are we? Thank you so much to that doctor. And remember, listeners, audience, contributors, the movement has begun. Thanks.